enormous brains. Both have culture. That is, both species pass on information to their young through learning. This is true of other species as well, but humans and orcas take this further than any other animal. Both hunt in groups. Both have sophisticated communication skills. Both live a long life and are enormously social. Both have the us-them distinction. But whereas we use this us-them to murder untold millions of our fellow humans, orcas have never killed a single one of their own species, as far as anyone has been able to ascertain. We are special, especially bad, but also good, as I will show, when compared to all other predators. Not only are we bad to our fellow humans, but we are bad to other species. Many other predators kill one another only in very small numbers, if at all. Even more important, in contrast to humans, they kill other animals exclusively out of necessity to eat them. We kill orcas and all other animals sometimes to eat them, though we have no need to eat them, and also just for the hell of it. What happened to us as a species that we are so different? Greed has become unmoored from any real need, just as eating and fighting seem to have become similarly unmoored. Early on in our species' history, fighting was ritualized, that is, it was not deadly. But that changed. Other animals would never take the kinds of chances we do that put us in harm's way. Warfare, for example. It makes no evolutionary sense. Only we create artificial and arbitrary distinctions. Different race, different language, different religion, for which we are willing to kill and die. This is not true of any other animal, as far as anyone has been able to establish. The use of our extraordinary intellectual power has become disconnected from our needs as well. So it works not to make us safe, but to expose us to ever greater dangers. I will argue in this book that this process began with the domestication of animals, which has brought to the fore a latent cruelty in humans. The stock market is so called because originally our wealth was in livestock. In the past, finding and killing an animal was a rare and dangerous occasion, circumscribed by tradition, superstitions, and rituals. Now it has become routine and ugly. Witness any of the undercover videos of slaughterhouse activity that nobody wants to see. It is not surprising that some researchers believe that the men who engage in this job are among the most stressed workers in the world, the unhappiest, and the ones with the greatest propensity toward domestic violence. This could not possibly be how we were meant to interact with the other animals who share the planet. Richard Alexander, one of the founders of evolutionary biology, tells me that the greatest difficulty in seeking global harmony may derive from human groups targeting one another. Humans alone, among all the world's species, plot, plan, and organize massive conflicts to defeat or displace similarly organized members of their own species. Is it possible that we are living as traumatized beings? It could well be. Consider the elephants Gay Bradshaw describes in Elephants on the Edge, What Animals Teach Us About Humanity. Normally, elephants do not callously, cruelly, and needlessly kill other animals. But recently, scientists report seeing young bull elephants doing precisely that with rhinos, and not only killing them, but raping them as well, much as human soldiers do in war. What turned them into psychopathic killers? Bradshaw examines evidence that trauma, in this case seeing their mothers murdered in front of their eyes when they were still little, is the cause. I cover this in the epilogue to this book, but I think our entire species may be experiencing something similar. Our hyperviolence could be at least partially explained by a traumatic past. More on this later. What could awaken us from this self-imposed trance of destruction? Seeking the answers I pursue in this book is not an idle quest. I do it in the hope that we can change. 1. Crocodiles and Us. This concept of human identity positions humans outside and above the food chain, not as part of the feast in a chain of reciprocity, but as external manipulators and masters of it. Animals can be our food, but we can never be their food. The outrage we experience at the idea of a human being eating